Blog Talk Radio.
I recognized you on the 6 o'clock news. You were running from the law. I thought about calling the line for the wanted, but right then your truck stalled. They pulled you to the ground in front of the whole crowd like some kind of Western show. Then I poured me a drink and all I could think was I'm glad to let you go. The world's gone crazy, crazy. At the grocery store, when a man with a gun under the lunchtime sun hollered, "Get down to the floor." So he did what he said. He took the money and fled, and everyone was a running wild. For me, I stood up and I brushed my shirt. I kept shopping down the cereal aisle. And the world's gone crazy, crazy.
Joining us on the morning loop with the morning chicks this morning. It is a cloudy morning here in Tennessee, but it looks like the sun is going to perk up the skies pretty quickly. How are you, Miss Ann?
I am great. It's CMA Fest Week.
It is. Yay.
Yay, lucky for you.
Yeah, you're so funny. Yay, I guess. You know, there's so many people. I mean, there were so many people here yesterday. I think everybody stayed from the weekend to go into the week. Everybody kind of got here to spend a full week here. And it's pretty amazing to see so many people in town for such an amazing event. And tomorrow, the CMA Awards, which will be on CMT tomorrow night, I believe beginning at 7 Central. So that'll be exciting. Make sure you tune in because I believe Kenny's going to be performing and some of your favorite artists, as well as our friend Jana Kramer. whose CD comes out today, which we're so proud of her. Make sure you go and purchase your copy today. She's so excited. She said last night she couldn't sleep. She was so excited about today. And so we want to congratulate Jana. And make sure you check her out at janakramer.com. But pretty amazing of the accomplishments that she has achieved. And she's achieved them with greatness and continues to be touring with Brad Paisley. And it's pretty exciting, you know. That's got to be an amazing concept to be able to come in fresh and be out with such a grand person. You know, it's got to be fun. So, but it is going to be a lot of fun, you know.
She really deserves it. She's worked so hard, and she truly deserves it. And, you know, she's such a lady of grace, and she's such a sweet young lady. And I am just so excited for her, and I just cannot wait to get her album.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is awesome. Oh, then I would be telling on myself, I have a copy already. But,
hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Those radio perks, you know.
I know. That's the radio perks of us, guys.
Excited about that. Well, you know what? Guess what? Today is... You know who that is. Happy birthday to Miss Jules.
Happy birthday, Miss Jules.
Excited about having and sharing the morning with Miss Jules. And we want to wish her a very, very happy birthday. She's very special to us.
I bet she thought we were going to forget her.
She probably did. Never.
Miss Jules, no way. No way,
never,
not
never.
A chance, nuh-uh, forget it, wasn't going to happen.
I know, never, never. She's too great to forget.
I think there's a couple things we got to take care of, just kind of get them out of the way.
Yep.
I think we do. You know, we Christina and I had a really long visit about some stuff, and things got a little crazy with me. You know, school finally ended, finally got graduated. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yay.
And all that other good stuff. Oh, I'm so glad that's over with. For now. For now, right? And
yep.
Now I'm so bored I can't see straight. But, you know, we you and I looked at a lot of things, and you know, I'll let you really get into that, but we changed a lot of things, and I'll let you just get into what we kind of decided and what we thought was really best for us and for the show and why we've been away and that sort of thing.
Well, you know, I think
it's... Away, and then that way nobody has any questions.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's just, you know, the reason I've been away lately is, as many of you know, and I'm sure anyone that's listening is very aware that I have a precious mother who has Alzheimer's. And, you know, it has taken a toll on our family as far as the disease itself. You know, it's really hard to watch your loved ones kind of disappear slowly. You know, they fade in and out. Mama has been suffering TIs, which are mini strokes,
yep.
Which cause her to shut down. I mean, it's really similar to, like, seizures. And, you know, there's moments where, you know, we just never know. And, you know, I just pray, and I'm really going to be more proactive in being a part of bringing awareness to Alzheimer's, you know, because families tend to struggle the most at letting go, and I have. You know, my mom is my best friend, and we've been so close growing up. As many of you know, I'm adopted, and Mom and Dad adopted me in their 40s, and, you know, I got to tell you, I have really had the major issues with having to put Mom in a nursing facility because I've always told her that I would never do that. And it just became a point where I had to do that, and I had to choose that because it was in her best interest. You know, it wasn't mine. I would have kept her here, but it wasn't in her best interest. And I knew I just couldn't do the 24-hour care plus raise 6 kids, be a wife, and run a business. I did it for many, many years, but it just takes a toll on you. The more progressed, you know, the disease becomes, it's really challenging. And, you know, she's so precious, and, you know, that's been a real major factor of, you know, what I'm doing, scheduling, taking off. You know, God first, family is right there with him, and I choose that. And, you know, you have to. And so you guys all know who controls my life. But not only that, you know, we're putting on our first annual Lifestyles of the West Expo and Rodeo, and we went through a trying, challenging time the past couple of weeks, not knowing if we're having it, if it was going to be a PRCA or if it wasn't going to be a PRCA event. How big do we want to do this? How little do we need to do this? You know, that's been kind of certain things, because I've always, my whole purpose was to have an event that was beneficial to the community. And, you know, we got to a point to where we were going to have to cancel because there was no way we were going to have enough funds to take care of everything, plus keep the ticket prices as low as possible. And, you know, I'm all about giving back to the community. And if my first event can't give back, I don't want to do it. You know, and that's kind of where I was. Well, that all changed this week. Actually, last week. I've been keeping a secret. I've been so excited. But anyway.
We were all sworn to secrecy and
I know.
All of that good fun.
I know. Well, you know what?
That was so not fair to make me keep that secret.
Well, you know, it's kind of like this. You know, Rick Warren has been in my back pocket for many, many years. As many of you know, I always joke about him being the fly on my wall, because no matter what he sends to me each morning devotional-wise, it pertains to my current situation. Have you guys ever had someone send you a devotion and it be like the perfect moment, and you're like, thank you. You know, thank you, Jesus. You know, it's just
because,
really.
That's because Rick Warren lives on our walls and he doesn't tell us.
Well, I love that. You know, my husband yesterday, many of you probably read on our Cutting Up Radio Facebook, he was like, you know, I think Rick is stalking or hacking your phone or something.
Phone bug.
Yeah. I love my phone bug. I love Rick Warren. I mean, he has really been an amazing part of my life. You know, the God puts people in your life for a reason, and truly he has put Rick in my life, and you know, I can't say enough about him. All of our friends over at Saddleback Church, you know, each weekend we share with them online, and it's so amazing, you know, because we're so touched by the words that he shares and inspires us. But anyway, speaking of that, he kept sending messages, and I kept sharing them because I thought, this is, you know, instead of going out there and really, you know, sharing the heartbreak I was going through at the time, because not only did the, you know, event kind of fall through, but the relationships, the, you know, it seems like whenever anyone, I guess, you kind of, what's the words I want to say, but anytime someone kind of feels, my attorney's listening this morning, so no. So anyway, when someone becomes like maybe defeated, or they feel like, you know, they just feel like they have failed, you know, that type of thing. That, you know, your interest wasn't their interest. That, you know, you kind of get some thoughts. And you know, Rick always kept telling and sending messages and really coaching me through this, because, you know, I tend to lock up when someone does me wrong. I tend to lock up when people, you know, feel like they have to question me, or, you know, I just kind of lock up because I'm just thinking to myself, how dare you? You know, that's what I think. Well, then Rick sent me a deal yesterday, and it was like, who cares what people think? And I'm like, damn, you sound like Kenny Chesney. But, you know, it's like, it's true. You know, I do care what people think and why, you know? So guess what? I'm going through this inspirational moment in my life now to where I don't care. You know, I'm going to speak what I want to speak. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. And, you know, I have no fear in that, because I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not doing anything to damage others. And I'm making the best of every situation. And I think that's so important. And I think we all have to look at every situation like that, because there's so much adversity out there in life. And the more you take in, the more you, you know, use to build your strength to overcome. And I just think that that's really key. And so through all of this, here we are. You know,
yeah.
It's been the past couple of weeks, really honestly, it's been my whole life. You know, I mean, I've been adopted. It was really hard for me to get through that. I almost lost my husband. You know, he was totally paralyzed, and God overcame, you know, that situation. And, you know, it was a lot of different things, losing our home in Katrina and just having to move so many times and really trying to adjust in a world that just is not a giving world these days. I mean, I noticed in communities all over, and one thing that I really had issues with is when we were looking up our entertainment for the Lifestyles of the West Expo, I noticed how artists do not, the country artists, and I'm not speaking for all, but the ones I went after, they did not want to be a part of a local event. And I'm thinking, this is where you come from. This is where you get on stage and are proud to say you're Nashville recording artist, but yet you don't support the communities in or around Nashville. And, you know, so many of these artists and those that declined to be at our event know who I'm talking about. But, you know, to me, your community is the most important. You know, you live here. You know, this is going back to your community. And I think that being able to see that side of the industry really opened my heart to so many different levels of things, really brought in more Texas artists that, you know, want to be here, that want to help our communities and want to help our nation and our troops, the military, you know, what we believe in. And so I've learned a lot through this. You know, it hasn't just been personal, but it has been favorable for what I do, what we do here on Cutting Up Radio. And I think being able to experience that has opened my heart to many more opportunities. And I've met so many amazing people, and I continue to meet people. This week is going to be absolutely amazing. I mean, we're going to meet millions of people. And, you know, it's awesome. I'm very grateful for the opportunities ahead. And like I said, you know, everything's looking amazing. And I'm so excited to let you guys know that we will be having the Lifestyles of the West Expo and Rodeo this October, and more details will be coming soon. So stay up to date here on Cutting Up Radio. Now.
I want to expand a little bit on my end so that they know too. I made a call to Christina. You know, when the whole lifestyle thing went down, Christina called me, and Christina said, hey, you know, we got to talk, and here's what's going on. And you know, there was a lot of decisions to be made. And I got to be real honest, Christina had a really, really tough time with this. She, you know, she really struggled, and I kind of gave her the same advice that she had given to me wisely for a very long time, which was give it to God and let him decide, and she did. And here's the thing with me. I had to make some really tough decisions, and the whole plan was I was going to be with Christina this week and at CMA Fest and that sort of thing. And I made some personal decisions regarding my health. We had a little health scare. Luckily, thank the Lord, all the tests were redone and they were good. But I'm actually made a decision to see my surgeon today so that we can get my sinus thing and my throat thing fixed. So that's why I'm unfortunately not in Nashville with my girl.
You are here.
And I miss her, and I know she's taking care of stuff down there for me, and I love you dearly for that. But you know what? You know, thanks to Christine, it was a better decision for me now, because this way, come time for lifestyles, you know, I'm going to be healed and better and everything else. And in the process of all this, Christine and I really got to do a lot of really good soul searching and talking about a lot of things that I think we kind of knew, you and I knew, were on the table. We just really had never really addressed them. And that's why we both decided that really it was time to really look and see what we were doing with our show. And we, you know, we said, well, let's go back and do it. And then we said, no, let's not. Let's do it. Let's not. Let's do it. Let's not. And so we waited a couple days, and then Christina called, and she says, okay, so this is my idea. And the funny thing was, I had said to her, I said, wow, that's really funny, because in the previous conversation, we both said, let's kick around some ideas in our head, and we'll have a meeting, and we'll decide how we want to do things and what we want to do with this. We both had the same exact idea because, like always, you and I think alike. So we kind of really decided to change the format up. And what we really want to do is we really want to do things that are inspirational. Yeah, we'll talk about some topics and that, but we really want to go in a different direction. We do so many different shows with so many different great people. And we just think that if we're going to do something starting out everybody's morning, we should do it as inspiration. You know, start your day out the right way. And, we thank you guys so much. I know for me personally, it means so much to have everybody. You know, I've had everybody Facebooking and tweeting and, sending emails and texting and that kind of stuff. And, the support and just sticking by us has meant so much to me. And being so patient with us has meant so much. And, that has inspired me to just know that I'm doing the right thing by keeping doing what we're doing. And that makes me happy to know that, making this decision to keep going has been the right thing, because what we are doing is the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and, one thing about it is everyone that has sent messages in, have been so, I guess inspirational for us to really make this turn. And, I think, today we can all, so many people look for someone to give an answer. Or maybe you guys are battling through certain things in life. And it's good to know that there are people out there that have overcame the same situation you're in. And it really inspires you to never give up. And I think so many people out there tend to give up, And I got to mention that Vorpal Bite is telling us we need to talk politics.
Let me tell you.
Get us on our soapbox, and it's scary. Let me tell you. It is very, very scary. but, he has a point. When he was talking about Chronicle, the end of civilization, the days that we're living in now are very biblical, and it's true what he's talking about. There's so many things there, and so many people, are really wondering, how this election this year is going to affect our future. Well, I was really saddened to see in my home state of Texas how I'm in Nashville, but my home state of Texas just had the little election and stuff, and probably 15% to 20% of the people got out to vote. Almost like people are so tired of the politics. They're not even voting anymore. It's like, does it matter?
Here's my theory on that. If you don't get off your tickets and you don't go out and vote, then keep your trap shut in the store.
Here we go.
Do not get me started today. No, do not get me started. Forget it. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Go ahead. See, Bork, this is what happens when you say politics. This is what happens. No, but if you go to KBTX.com, which is, I was near College Station, Texas, and I was reading, and then also KTRK.com there in Houston, I was reading some of the election results. And they were saying like 7,000 people voted in, 100,000 people town, these smaller towns around whatever the case may be. And I was thinking, are you serious? I mean, people are really not voting. I mean, it's got to really bring some type of awareness that, there needs to be some type of change if nobody's wanting to even be a part of it. And then you come to think of things and you're wondering if maybe, people just are not excited about the Republican candidate. I mean, think about it. I'm not happy with it, but, what am I going to do? How am I going to change that? but, it's one of those things where, you just really have to give it to the Lord, you know, and I think that, you know, that's all I can say. But Vorp was, Vorp, you know, it's really amazing on, as long as you're not watching Fox News or CNN, I'm serious, because those two outlets, I mean, it's amazing how they kind of compete with each other in a way, but you get to see the anger and all that stuff, but it's kind of like the voters don't care about that anymore. We're so glad that Fox has country music on their airways for the past 2 weeks, but other than that, you know, I just get tired of all that. You know, it's kind of like there's enough negative in this world. Let's get positive here, and let's start, you know, empowering communities to give back, to start living on their own, to decrease the welfare side of this country, because, you know, people have no responsibility or accountability that have welfare. It's almost like it's an easy way to live, and it shouldn't be that way. It should be, you know, a tool to get you back on your feet. You know, there needs to be more done with our disabled troops. My heart gets broken every time I go into Nashville and I see a disabled vet with a sign. It just kills me.
Yeah.
It just absolutely kills me. And you know, I just think we need to do more for our country. I think we need to do more for our communities. And Jules just came in the chat room. Happy birthday, Jules. You have to listen to the radio show.
Speaking of disabled vets, okay, I just literally cannot hold my tongue on this anymore. Did you watch Anthony Michael Poe on America's Got Talent last night?
Yes.
Timothy Michael Poe. Oh, I was in freaking tears. If you guys did not see this, we've got a link up on our Facebook page. This is a guy, a 35-year-old guy who's a veteran from San Antonio, Texas. He was hit by a grenade in Iraq, broke his back, got a brain injury, and now he speaks with a stutter. And he sat down, and his speech pathologist made him start singing in the shower. He's not one of those that really has one of those voices like that little Ivanka girl or anything like that. He's got a tone to him, though, that just sucks you in. And he sang "If Tomorrow Never Comes," and they put him through to Vegas. This guy will absolutely bring you to your knees in tears. The guy is freaking phenomenal. I hope to God he wins it.
Yes,
and
I hope so too.
Not just because he's a vet, but because he represents every single solitary thing that show is about. You know, we talk about American Idol. We talk about The Voice. We talk about all these different shows. But, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, you know, and another thing is, there's a Garth Brooks listening out there. I guarantee you Garth Brooks was watching. If not, he was getting on the internet to watch after the show. Because it's people like Garth Brooks, Kenny Chesney's out there, that are going to make him amazing. I mean, they're not going to let this be his end. I promise you. I mean, he has, no matter what they choose, whatever, he's got a future in this. And I think he's such an inspiration to all of our military out there that have struggled just to get out there, leap of faith, and take advantage of the opportunity that God's given you and make an amazing difference in someone else's life as well. And he's living his dream, but there's so many people that he inspired, including me, last night, by getting up there.
And that's the thing. He wasn't the greatest singer. But I don't know if it was the combination of his story and just the way he sang. It was so easy.
But he was unique.
Looking at him and watching him, just everything about him just drew you in. And, I mean, the dude's got my vote. I mean, I would vote for him every cotton picking week.
Well, and another thing is, he was amazing. He had an amazing voice. He was unique. But another thing is, his story totally sold him. Because, number one, until you know someone's story, you can't judge them.
Yeah.
And even when you know their story, you shouldn't judge them. But there's so many people out there that are so afraid of coming forward to share their talent because of judgment. And I think that he has, you know, and I, you know, I don't know, and I'm not making any accusations whatsoever, but, you know, we have PTSD Power Hour on our show here on Thursday nights, and I got to tell you, you know, seeing what he went through, the head trauma and all that stuff, you know, I'm sure he doesn't want to be labeled with that. I know a lot of people that don't want to be labeled with that, but everyone must remember that he has achieved a lot of greatness through this opportunity. And I just, he's, you know, I'm just honored to have experienced the night with him last night because he truly inspired me more, you know, just wanting to do more for the troops and really wanting to showcase them in an amazing way. And he really did. And so if you did not get to see that last night on America's Got Talent, it does air on Sundays again for a free trial, but also we posted the video on Cutting Up Radio's Facebook page.
Yeah.
So make sure that you follow us.
And, you know, I am the first one to tell you, I am definitely not a Howard Stern fan. I think the guy is just absolutely crass and rude, and I just can't stand him. And, you know, if I had 5 seconds in a room with him, I would smack him in his face.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I really respected the fact that he gave this guy a standing ovation last night. And, I mean, he looked this guy straight in the face and he goes, I'll tell you what, wow. And, I mean, just the comments he made to him, the first words out of his mouth were, he said, I salute you and thank you for being a hero and thank you for your service to this country. That was the first words out of his mouth. And I thought, you know what, good for you for saying it. Then he said nothing but kind things to this guy and really praised him. And, you know, it was really nice to see a moment. And I think it was kind of a realization smack in Howard Stern's face. And I was really glad that he kind of took that moment to actually be a true gentleman and a true
What are you talking about? Howard has been amazing on that show. You are talking about what he does on his radio show.
He's been good on that show. But I'm talking about his past.
You're judging him.
He's been very good on the show. I'm talking about his past.
You're judging him. You can't judge him.
Well, I'm judging his past. Yes. On the show, I got no complaints about him.
I know, but don't judge him. I mean, he's who he is because of what he's been through, you know. And one thing, let me tell you, let me share this real quick. Miss Jewel said, and I made it our quote of the day, the world judges me by the decisions I make. Never does it see the options I had to choose from. How true is that? You know,
yeah,
how
that
true is that? You know, I did put that on our Facebook page. Thank you, Miss Jewel. But I wanted to also touch on a couple of things. You know, one of our amazing friends here in our chat room, Vorp, was mentioning about, you know, when we were talking about politics a few minutes ago about the system, you know, with food stamps and all that stuff. Well, I can tell you I experienced those days as well with the food stamps. And one thing is, no matter what, it's never enough, you know, and people tend to just live with it, you know, and unfortunately it is a hook, line, and sinker technique for the government to control you and control your whereabouts and control everything about you because they get all your information and they can do whatever they choose. So I wanted to mention that a few minutes ago because I wanted to reply to him when I seen him writing this stuff on the chat. But like I said, bless your heart. I mean, I'm so sorry that you had to go through all that stuff and, you know, the cast on your foot and all the different things you were challenged with, but, you know, don't allow the government to control your future. You know, get out there and do the best you can, and if you can't, make sure that you use the services that are available to you. You know, I think it's important that those that need it, use it. Those that don't need it, I mean, those that can get out and work and do things, don't be lazy. Just go to work, you know? I mean, it's part of life. It's, you know, it really brands your credibility, you know, and your character. You know, get out there and share your expertise or your, you know, talent with someone. You know, get out there and have a job and help your country and help your community. And I think that's so important.
That's
but,
yeah. People that need it, that truly, truly need it, should definitely have it there for them. People that abuse it, absolutely. I'm totally against people that use it. And I've seen it time and time again. People that stand in line, talking on their cell phones, swiping their food stamp card, getting in their brand new car, it makes me absolutely sick. And then you see somebody behind you who is struggling and counting their pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Those are the kinds of people that deserve to have that kind of help.
Right.
Not the
right.
ones getting in the brand new cars.
Yeah.
And those. Yeah, that system is really bad.
Well, you know, and another thing is, I mean, that's what we see on the outside, you know, but there's a lot more to it. You know, just think, if you had an additional income coming in and you had the opportunity to do some other things, there's so many people that receive that government income each month, choose not to work, and spend all their time, you know, growing drugs, selling drugs, robbing people. Killing people, disrupting their communities. I mean, just think. I mean, the government really needs to step back and say, you know, blood test, if you want money from the government, then you must take a pee test, a blood test, whatever it takes to make sure that, you know, they're doing the best they can. Make the requirements, you know, a little bit more manageable for, you know, our government to get off their asses, excuse me, but this is true. You know, they make bukus of money off of us taxpayers, and, you know, big or small, middle class, whatever. We all work hard for our money. We all give back to our communities. And the big tax guy, you know, we're all paying taxes. And, you know, recently, yesterday, our governor signed in a tax break for food, you know, where it's going to be a little like 5.25% instead of 5.75%. You know, every little bit counts. You know, it's like us saving about a nickel on every $10 that we spend. But, I mean, a nickel every $10 for me is, like, amazing, because I spend $1,000, you know, at the grocery store for six kids, you know. So it helps us. You know, every little bit counts. And I think that's where we all need to go back to is realizing that every little bit does count, and every little bit of effort you have to put back in your community will help. And I think that's so important. And, you know, like I said, don't get us on this politics stuff, because we get crazy. We get crazy. Ask Miss Jules. We get crazy on this politics stuff.
Should we talk about our guest this morning?
Yes, I'm really excited. We have Sydney joining us this morning, Sydney Kennedy. This is Ann's daughter. And, you know, I want to mention something real quick to kind of lead up into this. This morning I was on Twitter, and if you guys aren't following Cutting Up Radio on Twitter, make sure you do so. It's at Cutting Up Radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, and ER Cowgirl, because that's Miss Ann. But anyway, I follow the Huffington Post. And their articles that they put up are just absolutely amazing. And this one caught my eye this morning. I mean, I was just, like, shocked. But anyway, a mother, Debbie, I don't even know how to say her last name. But anyway, she was arrested for choking a boy who bullied her daughter. And admits that she lost it. Okay. Well, number one, as a parent, I know where she's coming from, you know? I can't imagine what I would do. But I'm just saying, you know, she got arrested for choking a 14-year-old boy who was making her 13-year-old daughter, McKenna, you know, bullying her. And I think that our country has, you know, you hear more about this kind of stuff because it's on the news, it's on the airwaves. And I think that, you know, you become more familiar with it. But you've got to realize that a lot of it starts at home. You have to monitor your children, no matter if they're texting, they're on the computer, whatever the cases may be. Our technology has screwed up parenting, period. Because no matter what, you know, around my house, if I have to take something away, I'm going for the games, the phone, or the computer. You know, it's very simple, because those are the three things that my children enjoy, you know. And so it's very simple, but listen to this. It's very harmful as well. You have to monitor your children. You need to know who they're talking to. You need to know who they're friending. You need to know all these things. And you see, like, Facebook was mentioning how, you know, children under 13 shouldn't have a Facebook. My kids have a Facebook, but I monitor it. You know, they're listed under me. And, you know, it's really basically we use it for, you know, family, because my family's in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, you know, Mississippi. And so we don't get to see each other as much. or share things. And so we do. Well, come to find out, and it was kind of shocking for me, to be honest with you, but yesterday evening I was reading one of my friends had sent over this deal about the privacy notices for Facebook. And I posted it on our Facebook page. And come to find out, one of our amazing listeners, Julie Coffin, had sent out an FYI from Snoop saying that this was not true. And, you know, it's hard for us to tell what's true and not true because there's so many things out there that we become aware of, because it's almost like, you know, the agencies are using Facebook, are using Twitter, and they're being able to track so many people and you know, see the cyberbullying on the internet or however. I mean, there's ways of tracking that, and parents need to do that. I mean, and you know, the sad thing about it is most parents today are working.
Mm-hmm.
They're working overtime, and, you know, they're not at home. Their kids are at home basically raising themselves, doing their homework, whatever, cooking their meal at night and going to bed and waking up in the morning and going through the same routine, you know. And unfortunately, there's more kids out there raising themselves today than you can only imagine. And, you know, I think that we all need to be more aware of our surroundings and what is happening in our country, because we need to be concerned about we the people here. Because our communities are detrimentally, I mean, honestly, so many homeless people, so many children going without food. You know, you don't know who your neighbor is these days because you're almost too afraid to even go meet them because you don't know what they're, you know, you don't know what you're getting into.
Exactly.
And so it's really sad to see communities the way they are. And I think bullying is an amazing topic, and your daughter has started something at her school, and I'm excited to learn more about it. So where is our sweet little Sydney?
Sydney's right here. Say hello, Sydney. Hello.
Hey, Sydney. How are you this morning?
I'm more excited. Like, hello.
Hey, it's school day. It's school day on Cutting Up Radio. No, I'm just picking
on you. We've actually been out of school for, almost 2 weeks now. I let her miss the last week of school, and I let her go to Orlando to Walt Disney World for 10 days.
Oh, I'm sure you had to let her. I think she would have just took off, huh?
That was her. I'm done with eighth grade and I'm going into high school.
Oh, my good thing, no, I went through Nashville.
She went through Nashville.
Yeah, yay! You didn't stop by and see me.
No, she waved though.
Well, Sydney, you know, we're talking this morning about bullying, and you have started an amazing project there at your school. Tell us a little bit about it and what inspired you to do it.
Actually, my friend started it. His name's Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And he started it because he was getting bullied, and he was sick of people getting bullied and seeing them getting bullied. And in Iowa, in the past, like, in February and April, there were two people who committed suicide because of bullying.
Uh-huh.
And so he just wanted to see it change and just make a difference. So he decided to start an anti-bullying club called IOGB. It only gets better. And it's just like they have meetings at our local library.
Uh-huh.
And it's just about getting your self-esteem up and just remembering that it only gets better.
That is awesome. Now, have you ever experienced bullying yourself?
Actually, yes.
Wow. Can you share a little bit about that for maybe some parents out there like myself who has six children? Really want to know how it started and why you were, I mean, were you afraid or did you go to someone to talk about it?
I went to the counselors a couple times because I was just like, in seventh grade, I was on ADHD medication and it made me really, really skinny. And so I just kept getting called anorexic and bulimic and not eating and puking myself until I'm skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got off it, and I gained weight, and now I get called fat and ugly, and It just seems like schools aren't really doing anything about it.
Right. Well, does the teachers get involved? I mean, when someone says something to you, you know, it's almost like you were taught not to tattletale. I mean, I know I teach my kids. I'm like, duh, I don't want to hear it. Don't tattletale. But I'll also sit down with my kids and say, you tell me everything. I want you to know that no matter what you've done, I'm your mother, I love you, and we're going to make it better. You know, I've always been that way with my children. And you know, I know that you have an amazing support system there with your mother and your grandmother. You know, what did you do? Did you go to your parent? Did you go to your teacher?
Yeah, I went to the counselors, and I went to my grandparents and my mom.
And so did they help you, or you know, what advice did they give you?
They told me to tell the counselors, and I told them that I did, but they don't do anything about it.
Wow.
She doesn't want mommy to get mad.
Yeah, but you know, it's so important that you have to trust your parents, you know, your mom, even though sometimes it's difficult for us moms. I know my 21-year-old, well, he's about to be 21, he always tells me, Mom, I'm 20 years old. I'm like, you're still living under my roof, so I have a say-so. You know,
I'm real lucky with Sydney, though. You know, she tells me stuff that's going on, and we talk about it, and I monitor her Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the one thing about Sydney. She's almost 15, but she still lets me monitor her Facebook page. And, you know, there have been times where I have seen things that kids have written, and I'm like, are you kidding me, really?
Right.
And I've chimed in on her Facebook page and said, really? And I've made statements, and it has stopped. And then, of course, I've made statements, and the kids, you know, will start some more and start some more. At that point, I have called one parent.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I have to give credit to Sydney about is that, you know, at first she might get a little frustrated with me, but in the end she still brings it to me and she tells me. She doesn't hide it from me.
Right.
And I'm very thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that because, you know, two of the kids here in town committed suicide this school year because of bullying.
That's horrible. I mean, and it's almost like you wonder, how can a child be so depressed that they not speak up, you know, and they would be willing to take their lives instead of, you know, getting help or finding someone that can give them the peace and the, you know, protection that they need. I mean,
well,
I just, you know.
Christine, I'll tell you two things that go above and beyond that, and I can only speak for here in Iowa. A, how can a parent not be aware of their child changing that much is my first thing. I mean, seriously, I can tell if something's wrong with my kid. I can just look at her and tell. I mean, for a parent to not be that tuned into their child that they miss that is a serious problem.
Right.
Because I cannot tell you how many times I have actually talked to her counselor at school. And I have said, you know, seriously, this is going on. And I'll talk to her. And then when I ask her about it, I say, hey, Sydney, you know, have you talked to so-and-so? Yeah, well, this is what he said. And I think to myself, are you kidding me? And the first thing that comes to my head is, seriously, how much smoke can this guy blow up my backside?
Right.
And it's absolutely disgusting. And I think that a lot of times, they don't take it serious. And the other excuse you get is, well, you know, they're kids and they just say stuff and I think they just take it too far and they take it out of context. I'm sorry, if my child comes to you with a problem, you better pay attention.
Right. Well, another thing is, Vorp just mentioned in our chat room, he said that, hold on. I'm trying to read this, that bullies, do not cause suicide. Suicide is a mental illness. Well, I have to disagree with you there, Vorp, because number one, bullies do cause mental abuse, which does cause suicide. And, you know, I think, you know, unfortunately, we all have the right of opinion. Thank a soldier for that. But my point is this, you know, there's always someone, and Vorp, you must not have children. If you do, praying for them right now. Because, number one, you as a parent have to step up to the plate and say, enough is enough, period. And I, as a parent, would run into you and whoop your ass probably. But, you know, bottom line is this. You know, we all have an opinion, and, you know, you've got to realize where it goes from as far as, you know, the mental abuse. It does draw you into being depressed, which then draws you into suicide. There's a lot of different things there. You cannot blame it on just one thing. So, Warp, just want to clear that matter, and I know you just said sticks and stones may break you. Okay, well, guess what? You're a tough guy. But I can tell you I'm a little bit tougher here because I can tell you as a parent.
Oh, boy.
I can tell you as a parent that, you know, we're talking about bullying, and I think that, you know, that it's not about you feeling sorry for anyone here, okay? That's not what it's about. We're talking about bullying. We're talking about how wrong it is. We're talking about how to bring awareness to prevent it. And there's no right or wrong in this you know, conversation as far as common sense. You know, I mean,
well,
it's obvious
know,
wrong when you're abusing
you
someone
know, Christina,
mentally.
Here's one that went down the other day, and I don't think Sydney will get too upset about me saying it. Sydney was in a situation the other day, and I'm not going to say where or anything like that, but Sydney was in a situation the other day where an adult male, no less, said to someone, well, is she retarded?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, I am so ready to go kick the living crap out of this guy.
Right.
I get that. I can understand some kid being stupid and saying something like that, but you are an adult. Don't you ever talk to my kid like that. And
right.
I'm seriously ready to go kick the living crap out of this guy. I'm that mad. And
I understand.
You know, Sydney, though, let me tell you how in tune my kid is to this. My kid came to me with this and said, Mom, so-and-so said this to me. And I'm like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she at least came to me and talked to me about it, and which I'm so thankful for, that you know, she feels comfortable enough to come and talk to me.
Right.
But, I mean, it not only comes from kids, but it's adults, too. And,
right.
And just it's just disgusting. It's just sickening to me that I never had, you know, I got picked on when I was growing up, and kids said mean stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can remember in high school when we had to push pennies to the bull, I mean, with our nose. You know, the seniors would haze us, you know, and, like, tell us, push pennies with your nose. We had this Bramer bull in the center of the floor, and then we thought it was funny. But then again, you know, the more and more we came to know about this kind of stuff and how it was cruel, you know, nobody ever thought about that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't remember any of that stuff back then in the days when we were in high school. But, again, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, one thing is, you know, Sydney, you're a young woman, and you're going to be challenged with so many different things that your mom and I were not challenged with. And, you know, by you stepping up to the plate in your school and being a part of this and really bringing awareness, I just want to tell you how proud I am to know you. And to let you know how much I appreciate you being a voice for so many children out there that don't have that. And, you know, I think it takes children like you to stand up for other children that cannot stand up for themselves. I think you are a great encourager, and I think that you will inspire so many children to be a part of bringing more awareness to your school. And I think what you're doing is phenomenal. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
I just
have one last question for her, and that would be, you know, and really, to be honest, I mean, as much as I know my kid, this is the one answer I really don't know for my child. Sydney, the kids are out of school, so, of course, now, you know, with our listenership, we also have younger listeners, too, that are listening to our show right now. What would you say to the eighth grader, seventh grader, sixth grader, some of the high school kids out there that are listening, what would you say to those kids that are getting bullied? How would you tell them to handle it if they're getting bullied right now? What would you say to them would be the best advice you could give them?
Just definitely, like, step up to the plate and tell someone about it.
Yeah. Well, for those that, do you ever feel like, you know, when you just mentioned that, I'm just going to add something here. Do you ever feel like you're going to be judged greater by stepping up to the plate and saying, such and such said this to me? Do you think that you're going to be degraded by those students? I mean, because from what I understand, the bully syndrome, it's a group. It's like a pack of wolves. It's not just one person. It's like a group of people. Is that true, or is it an individual thing?
It just kind of depends. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's a group, but sometimes it's just, like, one person.
Really? Boy, you know what? Y'all need to start being, well, you know, now you get kicked out of school. But I can remember this boy in school used to always kind of, you know how boys back in the days would kind of sweep by you and touch your butt with their hand?
Yeah.
Well, I threw this boy through the glass window at school, and I got... It was IBS,
yeah,
is what we called it back then.
You kind of get kicked out of school and sent down to juvenile detention.
Yeah.
For that anymore.
I know, but back then, I got an IBS with, like, in-building suspension or something like that, where I got to sit
back
in this
then,
little room.
I would have got a pat on the back from my dad and a high five.
Oh, no. My brother-in-law had to go fix the window, and, oh, my gosh, it was, like, $900, and it was like,
oh,
I never
see,
heard the
my,
end of
my
it.
My dad would have gladly written a check for that, and he would have been high-fiving me all the way down the hallway.
and then a
and
teacher of mine.
My dad's not a violent man.
And then a teacher of mine told me that I was a rich child, you know, like I was spoiled. And I popped her in the mouth. Now, I was a mean kid, I ain't going to lie. I was in school suspension all the time. But I didn't ever put up with nobody's crap. You know, it was like... Everybody knew that that's who I was, and they never did really bother me, you know. And
well, you know how I solved my problem with all that, right? I used to just drop one of my dad's old business cards on the floor, and I would just leave it, and they'd pick it up, and then it would stop. What you don't understand is that my dad's old business card happened to be from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. It was quit. They quit for a while. Couple months ago, by I drove another one. My dad quit working for the FBI when I was like 5. But I remember finding a box of his old business cards.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
I
so
remember
funny.
when I get picked on, and my dad doesn't even know that. And oh my gosh, if my dad knew that, my dad probably go through the ceiling. He'd probably laugh now. But I would find him and I'd like drop one of his business cards. And
wow.
I was hoping he'd stop. Or I'd leave one on the seat of the school bus, you know? And then they'd stop and they'd be nice for a while because they'd all be scared like my dad was going to come get them, you know? And then it would stop. And then it'd start up again. Then I'd drop a hint again. And then it would stop for a while. That's how I got through it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess because we were in a small town school. You know, I think we had like 700 in our school. And, you know, I don't know. It was just kind of like a family environment. I mean, grant you, there were a lot of jealous kids. You know, everybody wanted to be better than everybody, wear the same clothes, whatever the case may be. And I was the chubby kid, and I didn't care. I was who I was, and everybody either loved me or hated me. And it didn't really matter to me because I didn't let it bother me. And I think I wish that I still had those characteristics in my life today, because today as a 40-year-old, I do care more than I did back in those days. So I wish I would have kind of held on to that kind of stuff, because I think it could have helped me even more as an adult to be that way. Because, you know, it seems like when my heart softened, I started being more taken advantage of by friends, well, associates, that, you know, it just kind of hardened me up a little bit as far as, you know, not being as arrogant and self-controlling, you know. Now I'm, like, out of control.
See, that's my problem, too. I just happen to say what's on my mind, and I quite frankly do not care if it makes them mad.
Right, right.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I'm just in one of those places in my life. I mean, you know that. I'm just like, this is how it is. If you don't like it, I don't care.
Oh, my gosh. I've got to say something, because Borp actually said something I agree with. He said, parents are teaching their children proper behavior. Schools are undermining the parents, and welfare makes fathers replaceable. Replaceable, and no respect for God. So true. When our schools and our states and our country started taking God out of things, wanting to take God out of money, wanting to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you know they don't say the Pledge of Allegiance in school anymore? Do you know that they do not have recesses in school anymore? I mean,
you know,
there's
what?
So many different things.
Sydney just said in her school they're still saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Are they? There are so many schools out there that are not choosing to say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore.
And
when they
what?
Do say it, they don't say under God. They just say such and such.
I have to agree with the statement there about undermining the parents, because I'll tell you what, I give kudos to that, because when my oldest daughter, who is, oh my goodness, oh my gosh, I'm really aging myself. She's almost 24. Oh my God, Christina, that reality just set in. Not that grandma's not enough. That reality just set in. One of my friends posted on Facebook yesterday, wasn't it 25 years ago today that we all graduated high school? And I went, oh, that was like a knife in the heart.
Right.
You know?
I mean, we are getting older, but we're getting wiser. And, and the kids today.
Going back to what he was saying, though, about schools and undermining parents. When my daughter was, when my oldest daughter went to middle school, I will never, ever forget this as long as I live. I was a truant officer. I was the one who, when your kid didn't get out of bed, you called me up at 5:30 in the morning and goes, my kid won't get out of bed. And I'd have to go drag your kid's butt out of bed, and I'd have to drag your kid to school, and I'd have to listen to this every single solitary day. So her dad and I go to school, and we fill out all the paperwork to enroll her in school. Well, here's this piece of paper that says that we agree to allow the school to use corporal punishment on our children. And we refuse to sign it.
Well, listen to this. I didn't notice until I moved to Tennessee that this happens. But parents nowadays, instead of taking care of their children as far as, like, disciplining them, they call the local police department to deal with them. Here in Tennessee. And I'm thinking, are you serious? What happened to the belt? What happened to the switch? What happened to this? I mean, really, honestly, the government has caused such an irate youth upbringing because they have allowed the government to take care of our children instead of the parents being, you know, responsible. And I think that it's the government's fault because they have actually taken our rights away as parents to discipline. Now, listen. I don't even spank my children. I don't spank my children. But my children were raised to respect me, period. I don't need to spank them, you know? But it's part of how they are raised at where they are headed. And if you don't have the right to discipline your children, whatever manner you choose, then, you know, what gives the right to a government that at the age of 18 takes your child into war and you know, and has absolutely no accountability to what happens to him or her out there in the battlefield. Okay, to me, I just think it's just crazy to begin with. Another thing is, I think our government should be held accountable, and I think that the lives that have been lost to our youth out there that they have taken and irresponsibly, you know, just forgot about, I think they should be held accountable, and none of them are. And I think parents need to be held accountable. You have a child, then you have to serve this, 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 and this. You know, it's a requirement, but it shouldn't be. It should not. The government should stay their asses out of it. That's all I gotta say.
Well, we got a phone call the first day of school, first day of seventh grade. We get a phone call to come pick our child up in the school office that she's not allowed to be at school. And of course, you know, I'm at work at the juvenile office, no less. And I'm thinking, what in the name of heaven? You know, this is kind of embarrassing. And so we go. I call her dad, and I'm like, we need to go to the school. And he's like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. So we go to the school, and we walk in the principal's office, and the principal says, well, you didn't send the corporal punishment paper. And her dad looked at the principal and said, excuse me. And he says, I'll be damned if I'm signing it. And he says, well, then you can take your child and go home. So we took her home, and we went down to the school board. They actually had a school board meeting that night. He walked in that school board office, and her dad was real quiet, unlike me, of course. Her dad goes down to the school board, and he raises his hand to speak. And he says, my child was not allowed to come to school today because I refused to sign this piece of paper. And they said, well, you know, you have to, blah, blah, blah. And he says, now, wait a minute. he says, her mother works for the juvenile office. Her mom hauls all these little butts to school because they're too lazy to get out of bed. And he says, and the first thing you teach my child on the first day of school is, if your parents hit you, we're going to call Child Protective Services because that's child abuse. He says, so you're telling me that I'm not allowed to take my child out to the barn and paddle her little ass. He says, but you're telling me I'm allowed to give you the right to paddle my kid? He goes, you can kiss my ass. And he goes, and I'll be damned if I'm signing your paper. And he goes, and if you don't let my kid come to school tomorrow, you can explain it to my attorney and a judge. My kid was in school the next day.
But yeah, well, you know, and I mean,
how do you do that? How do you say, give us permission to beat your kid, but you're not allowed to spank your child?
Right.
I mean,
well, I just think the government has made it too easy for parents to pick up the phone and call 911 or pick up the phone and call your local police department, making children afraid of police officers. My children, I mean, they have friends too, but they're like, Mom, is that policeman going to be mean to us? And I was like, well, why would they be mean to you? You know? I mean, it's really sad. I mean, it's like, no, that police officer is not mean. And then you go and you're watching America's Got Talent, and the TV thing comes on and it says, a person impersonating a police officer, such and such, such and such, kidnaps a child out of the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, and here you are as a parent telling your kids that police officers are great, you know? They protect us, yada, yada, yada. You know, there's so much complications there as far as, you know, the things, the details that you tell your children. And you really, you'd never tell children anything that will bring fear to their hearts. Because, you know, unfortunately, there's enough fear in this country. And, you know, I homeschool my children, so my children don't have to see or be bullied by anyone other than, you know, their mom. And I don't bully my kids. But, you know, it's basically, you know, it's one of those things where I think, well, yeah, I have great kids. But, you know, I think really the government bullies parents. You know, and I think they're like, you do this, this, or this, or we'll take your kid and put him in a foster home with complete strangers where they're getting molested, where they're getting this done and they're getting that done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's pathetic. I think it's absolutely pathetic. I think our government is on the wrong track of bringing and uniting families. They're tearing them apart. You know, the divorce rate in our country is so high right now. And I think that, you know, America is just absolutely falling apart. And I think that the only political politics are not going to bring America back together either. I think it's dividing our country, and I think that we the people need to start speaking up and doing more and controlling our community and also our country's future, because if we don't, this is what we're leaving for our kids, guys. You know?
Yep.
So, oh, very,
goodness,
very
I'm
sad. You're what?
Oh, my goodness, I'm sorry.
Oh. Well, you are about to leave to go to your doctor visit. We want to pray for you. You're so funny. We want to pray for you and know that God is in control. And, you know, we just pray a hedge of protection around you for, you know, your visit today. And we hope that you come back with great news. And hopefully you won't have to have surgery, but I know you're going to prepare for surgery.
You know what? I am not one who likes to go under the knife, but I'm going to tell you right now, the best honest-to-goodness thing you could pray for is that the doctor says he's going to do surgery because, oh, you know, 7 years ago I had my face reconstructed. You know that, but 7 years ago I had to have my face reconstructed, and I had a bunch of sinus work and that kind of stuff, and they told me it would be about 3 years, and I'd have some scar tissue that I'd have to have removed. It's been 7 years, and I'm having a lot of problems now with my voice and with breathing, and I've got a bunch of polyps and scar tissue, and we've done the antibiotics, we've done the steroids, we've done the sprays, and none of it's worked, and it's getting worse very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
And to be very honest, I'm hoping that he tells me today that he's going to do surgery either by the end of this week or first of next week, because by doing that, A, I'm going to be able to taste again, B, I'm going to be able to smell again. My voice is going to come back to normal, and I'm going to feel so much better. And so as much as I don't like the idea, I'm praying that it happens, because in the long run, I know it's going to be so good for me. And, you know, while I'll be out for, you know, obviously a little while as far as, you know, recovery time will be about 6 weeks. You know, in the first few days of post-surgery are horrendous and this kind of thing. But I'm just praying he does it because, like I said, I just so want to feel better. And, I mean, you know, I suffer from these horrific migraines and all that. I'll just be so happy to have that done because then it would all be gone.
That's awesome. Well, Corp said get well soon. And also, you know, Miss Jules joined us, and I don't think she was on our show in the beginning, but Miss Jules, this is for you.
Yes, we got to play it one more time for her.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
Oh, how awesome
happy
is that?
Happy birthday, Miss
Jules.
Yay. Happy birthday, Miss Jules.
Thank you.
You're so funny.
Hi.
Hey, Miss Jules, my daughter Sydney's here.
I know. I've been listening, and I posted some stuff in there for Sydney. You rock. I think it's so brave of you, and it's just extraordinary that you're speaking up and standing up and letting people know about bullying, because I know it sucks, but you know what? You've got an awesome mom, and you've got a great support system around you, and even from over here in Indiana and where Sean is and people listening, and obviously God is surrounding you with just so much love and comfort and joy that you'll make it through anything. And I think I just wanted to call in just to make sure that Sydney knows that that's a big deal, and it takes a lot of courage to do what she's doing. And so I just wanted to say rock on.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yay. Happy birthday, she said, Miss Jules.
Happy birthday to me, and thanks, and good luck at the doctor, and everything will be
thank
fine.
You, sweetheart.
Okay.
Hey, Miss
Jules. All right,
Jules.
Thank you, Miss Jules.
Yeah.
Oh, hold
hey,
on.
Hey, Miss Jules.
Yeah.
I told you we weren't going to forget. Neener, neener, neener.
No, we didn't. Thanks.
Oh, my gosh. She's so childish.
I had to do it, girl.
What are we going to do?
You're crazy.
I had to do it, girl. We knew that we had to do something for your birthday, so what was the best thing we could do? Come back on the air for you.
Yes.
Well,
I don't know if that's a lucky thing or not.
That's a non-refundable gift right there.
It is. That's the best gift ever. It's probably the best gift I'll get all day long.
We love you so much, honey. And you know what? You are such an inspiration, and you're such a beautiful person, Jules. And, you know, I know for myself, and I think I can speak for Christina on this, we just truly, truly hope that today and every day is so filled with joy and happiness for you, because you truly bring that to us every day. And you are so inspiring to us. And we just hope that you are so blessed with that and so much more today, especially, and every single solitary day. And we love you, and we just hope it's a wonderful birthday for you, dear.
Oh, well, now that's too much good for me to take in, but I will do my best.
No, it is not. It is every bit of it.
I think I'm going to just say thank you, and I'm going to end on that note. But thanks for having your show today, and may everybody just be filled with happiness, sunshine, and joy today. And, I'm going to go now.
You're so funny. Thank you, Miss Jules.
Y'all.
You have a very special day. You're
bye,
a very special person to us.
All
right, hon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon.
Oh, I forgot she called.
I know. That was awesome. Well, you know, we want to go out and thank Vorp for joining us today. He's been a lot of fun. You know, he got to speak his mind, and yay. And I think we cursed like 3 times in our show today. Hell,
yeah, well,
damn,
you know.
Something. But anyway, Lord,
hey,
forgive us.
I got a new one, though.
Oh, here we go.
Peas and fruit.
Huh?
instead of saying, like, the naughty word, we say peas and fruit.
Or donkey instead of ass.
Yes. Sydney said, don't say Jesus Christ, you say cheese and rice.
Exactly.
Well, I hate to do this to you, but I have got to head up to the big old university.
Yeah, well, hey, our prayers are with you, and let us know how that goes.
Oh, I will. I'm so jealous that I'm not there.
Oh, no problem, honey. I'll take
it
all in for you.
I'm not there. You know how bad I want to be there.
Well, hey, y'all, don't forget to watch CMT this Wednesday and be a part of the excitement here in Nashville. I know that they will be airing the GAC, Lordy mercy. I'm losing it. GAC, I love them. Can you tell? Anyway, the CMT Awards will be on CMT. And then also, I believe they're going to be taping the festival as well and airing that at a later date. But I'll give you more details on Cutting Up Radio. But make sure you're following us on Facebook and also on Twitter, as well as Miss Thang over here. She's on Twitter as well. She's the ER Cowgirl, so make sure you're following her. Join us Thursday morning. We're going to be on again Thursday morning talking about
what
the festivities.
And but we're not telling them what we're working on, are we?
Yeah, we're not telling anyone what we're working on. We're keeping a secret.
Keeping a secret. Hey, you're gonna be around in like 20 minutes, right? Because I'm gonna call you on my way up to the doctor because I got something else that just came across and I gotta tell you about it.
Oh Lordy. Well, anyway, definitely want to thank Sydney for waking up with the Morning Chicks this morning and sharing her amazing awareness of what she's doing at her local school for bullying. So, Sydney, again, thank you so much for everything you're doing. You're such an inspiration, and we look forward to having you on our show again to tell us the progress of that for 2012-2013 school year, because I know you guys are going to be doing some amazing things. So thanks again for everything you're doing, sweetie.
She's waving with a big smile on her face. She's got a bowl of cereal in her mouth, not literally like a whole bowl, but she's like waving like thank you because she's got a big thing of food in her mouth right now, and she's saying thank you to everybody. So.
Yeah, well, hey, Sean and Jules, thoughts and prayers to you, Miss Ann. And,
oh, thank you, guys. I love you.
Yeah, and so.
Yeah, that'll be great. I'm excited. I mean, it sounds so crazy, but I'm like really excited.
She's excited to go. Her doctor must be cute, guys. You know, he must
really
be cute.
No, he's really not a cute guy. I'm just really excited for him to finally fix all this junk.
I'm sure.
Christina, seriously, how nice would it be for you to hear me and say, wow, guess what? I don't have a headache.
And you don't have a smoker's cough. I hope he tells you have to quit smoking.
Huh?
I hope he tells you have to quit smoking.
Yeah. Well, I made a promise that if he did the surgery, I was gonna.
Okay. Well, I pray you do. I pray the Lord leads you to doing that because you really need to stop smoking. You know, it's like secondhand smoke is not good for me or my kids. So you need to quit smoking, fill in the airway. Okay.
I know. But hey, I'm gonna holler at you in like 20 minutes because I got to tell you about this email that I got that's like really big stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But everybody, I love you guys. I'm so glad to be back. You guys have a great day. Be an inspiration to somebody today and every day, not to mention be an inspiration to yourself as well. We love you, and we will see you back here later this week.
That's right. And, hey, post on your Facebook for all of us how everything goes, everything good, all that good stuff. So Ms. Jules said keep us posted. All right, honey.
Well,
have a good day.
Bye,
hon. And hey, a few minutes ago we mentioned that Jana Kramer's coming out with her new album, Jana Kramer Today. If you have not picked that album up, make sure you check your stores today and purchase your copy or go online at janakramer.com. This song is on it. It's called Why You Wanna. So we'll see you back here. Actually, tomorrow, Miss Tammy Webster has Douglas Duncan, a PBR bull rider, on her show at 9 p.m. Central Time. That's Wednesday night. And then also Thursday morning here on the Morning Loop with the Morning Chicks. Join us. We'll see you then. Here's Jana Kramer with Why You Want to. Make sure you check her out at janakramer.com. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Cutting Up Radio. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Have a great day, everyone.
Out of all of the places in this little town, yeah, you had to come walking in here and sit down. I'm hiding and hoping my face ain't too red. Since we've been over, been trying like crazy to get you out of my.
Energy.com.